heaven, education, and eternal learning. Commentary for the December 26, 2020 Sabbath School lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 10. As appropriate to this week's lesson, I am sharing an expanded version of an earlier article I have written, Space, Time, and God. In our understanding of the universe, we have defined space and time within the first four dimensions. The first dimension is linear space. The second is planar space. And the third is tridimensional space. The fourth dimension, which might also be called the first dimension of time, could be considered linear time. If the parallels are consistent, then the fifth dimension, which would also be the second dimension of time, would be planar time. Logically, then, the third dimension of time would be tridimensional time. If we were to construct a religious symbology meaningful to hypothetical inhabitants of these dimensions, we would perhaps do so using imagery native to the dimension in question. For the first dimension, we might create a sacred line or point. The second might have a holy parallel. The third might have a sacred three-dimensional structure. The fourth might have a sacred object constructed of linear time. This could be, for instance, a day set aside as sacred. Naturally, the possibilities would extend with appropriateness across each dimension. We might even be able to define the possibility that the substitution of a symbol for a particular dimension with one from a lower dimension might be regression or heresy. For example, replacing veneration of a holy day in the linear time dimension with veneration of a holy object from the third dimension. The same might be true from all perspectives. For instance, a holy day arising from a linear perception of time might be viewed as a failure to recognize nonlinear aspects of time. Aspects of time such as these would be manifest in a deity capable of omnipresence geographically and chronologically, but would be exceedingly difficult to conceive of mentally or artistically in the mind of those only capable of viewing time as a linear manifestation. Even our understanding of dimensions is shaped by how we perceive things in our own dimension. We most likely see dimensions, as I outlined in the first paragraph, as linear, extending ad infinitum away from our own, just as we perceive time as linear, extending beyond sight into an infinite future. However, these dimensions, rather than being linear in nature, are quite possibly coexistent and are simply to be understood as each lower dimension simply being a subset of and therefore contained within all the higher ones. First and second dimensional space are both subsets of third dimensional space. All exist simultaneously but are not congruent. The subset is within the superset, but not equivalent to it. This means elements of the subset may appear within the superset, but the superset cannot produce any elements within the subset that are not already normally present there. This is theologically exemplified by the necessity of a Messiah appearing as human due to the limitations of the dimensional subset he is appearing within. Appeals to his nature outside of that subset would be subject to gross misinterpretation, if they could even be experienced at all. It would also be necessary to appear in a non-threatening manner, There are few things less threatening than a human baby. The patriarchal society that the child was born into would demand also that the child be born male to lessen the threat to societal norms. Just as I, who exist in the linear time dimension, can create in a second dimension, so those in the higher dimensions might not lose their ability to manipulate the lower ones. Although the more remote the relationship between dimensions, the less might be the motivation for such interaction. It may be a primitive and useless exercise to the more comprehensively constructed dimension, while being absolutely terrifying to those within the simpler ones. This would be because the lower would be less likely to understand any interaction with the greater due to the limitations of their subset. For instance, two-dimensional inhabitants might consider my ability to enter their realm and create objects as godlike. I, in turn, might feel the same about individuals from other dimensions who could enter my dimension and manipulate time. For the greater dimensions, self-interest may be the only reason for remote lower subset interaction. Perhaps illustrative of this would be the biblical story of the Tower of Babel. This idea, which I call the remoteness principle, might be visualized as a hierarchy by beings in our dimension with our linear thinking. Lower in the hierarchy and less remote might be those who are most often involved in interactions with our dimension. Angels, for instance, I don't know. While the hierarchy progresses in remoteness infinitely to that which we would call God. Although we could not actually define God, since the definition, both practically and stemming from this multidimensional construct in the sense that I do not have the tools to portray or recreate those dimensions, requires ineffability. Such a definition would also require God, for the purposes of interdimensional communication and travel, to use those tools and beings closest to the target dimension that would ensure the highest level of comprehension. Heaven, then, may be the superset that holds an infinite number of dimensional subsets. This would make heaven itself infinite by definition, and omnipresence a necessary attribute of the being or beings dwelling there, and having omniscience or full awareness of all subsets within the superset. Such a being would also have at their disposal all the tools of every subset, allowing such things as the incarnate presence of that which is spirit. To us, Jesus is an enigma. He is an interjection into our linear dimension of all that such a being could reveal of itself to us. We speak often of God willingly limiting himself to human form. Yet this is not adequately descriptive. Perhaps it would be more correct to speak of a being who can no more fully interject himself into our dimension than we can fully be integrated into the limitations of the second dimension. At most, we could only succeed in fully integrating a two-dimensional representation of our being into that dimension. In short, Jesus is the face of God we see and understand, but that revelation is veiled by our own limitations. We do not have the ability to approach God where he lives. The only knowledge we may have is from his ability to reveal dimensionally compatible elements of his being to us, which fall far short of reality. This is not because of any lack of desire on his part. If we can imagine trying to teach a cricket how to bake a cake, we can just barely perhaps understand the problem. If we turn now to the concepts of creation and creator, higher dimensions should be able to spawn subsets of themselves as a property of there being a superset of those subsets. An example might be Walt Disney producing two-dimensional images of Mickey Mouse on a screen. That two-dimensional fantasy world was spawned as a subset within a dimension capable of things beyond that cinematic portrayal. Perhaps the existence of such subsets might also be considered proof of the superset's existence, with each superior set, of course, being a subset itself of the infinite set. While there may be little or no linearity involved, a creator-creation model might be a singularly adequate means to describe the indescribable to the linear beings of the fourth dimension. Salvation might also be defined in this cosmology as a fully integrated restoration of a subset to its proper superset. Such restoration, if infinitely applied across all subsets, could easily mean immortality, although what that truly means could not be adequately understood within the confines of any subset short of infinity. Instead, trying to visualize it would be like seeing through a glass darkly, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Perhaps, therefore, our futile attempts to understand any revelations from these higher dimensional subsets must continually be constructed on a foundation of faith, as opposed to substance. The tools of this dimension are simply inadequate to the task. Instead, we rely heavily on adequate manifestations perpetrated by sources beyond our comprehension, sources severely constrained when working within our dimension. The Bible may hint at an ability to transcend the limitations I have illustrated. Per the early chapters of Genesis, prior to the temptation and fall, God apparently was able to appear to and walk with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Was this a limited manifestation like Jesus' incarnation, or have we lost some ability to see and understand what happens outside our subset? Paul hints of this with his first letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 15, he writes of a change that we must undergo that will allow us to transcend our current experience. But the limitations of his language and my ability to understand do not allow me to penetrate that barrier between then and now. For the moment, as a denizen of linear time, I must wait for the revelation that is promised. Fortunately, I am not alone in looking for that day, and I hope you are among that number. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find more commentaries and the print version of this commentary at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God bless you and your family.